30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam on this a nice evening. Kudos to the people, or shout out to people, I guess, smoking pot outside the movie theater. I like that this is the place we are now in society. You can just sit outside the theater and smoke pot. I'm not a person who cares. It's just, you know, try to stick to the standard rules that we've all kind of accepted for smoking in general. I went to an advanced screener for Challengers, Luca Guadagnino's new movie, whose name I definitely mispronounced, and all of my Italian ancestors are looking at me with shame, but here we are. This movie is about two tennis players who are doubles partners who get involved with, say, a woman, who is one of the biggest stars on the planet in tennis, and the ensuing relationship that happens over the course of, like, almost 15 years. And I have to say, I didn't go into it with low expectations, because I think the expectations, for me at least, were pretty high, because the trailer for it is one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time. It's like, they would show it anytime that you would go to a movie for a while. It was, you know, the trailer for Challengers, where they had, S&M was the song that they played over it. And I think the trailer does a great job of selling the movie, which, you know, shouldn't be a shock, because that's the job of the trailer, is to sell the movie. But I think what, you know, it sets the tone and the pace in a great way. The movie does a lot of jumping around, which I think is something that if you are someone who watches this at home in a distraction-full environment, you are someone who is going to get less out of it than someone who watches it in the theater. I watched it in a Dolby screen. I'm not entirely sure why they put it on a Dolby screen. Maybe it's just my theater's fucking up, but, like, it wasn't properly cropped to a Dolby screen. Whereas, like, they're already, you know, it's kind of like letterboxed, but, like, vertically. I'm like, well, what's the point of having this giant screen if you're only going to use the middle portion of it? Either way, I think I see why they delayed the movie, and I think it's because there is a path forward for Zendaya to win an Oscar this year between this and Dune. Because I think Dune is going to get her a good amount of the way there. I don't think she wins Best Supporting Actress, though, because I don't think she's even the strongest supporting actress in Dune. I think if there's going to be a supporting actress, it's going to be Rebecca Ferguson. But she has a strong enough performance, and, like, that's the thing, is that in the last half hour of Dune, we're going to end up talking about Dune a little bit now, as tends to be the case whenever I get on the topic, but have you heard of this movie, Dune Part 2? You get to the third act, and she has, like, three lines of dialogue in the last, like, hour of the movie or some shit like that, and you don't notice because her stage presence is so good. And then you couple that with her performance here, where she is this, I don't want to say Lady Macbeth, because I think she's, like, that's the thing about this movie, is that no one in this movie is a particularly good person. Everyone's kind of a little scummy, and some more scummy than others, like, and I think all three of them do a great job of playing that. Mike Feist, Josh O'Connor, and Zendaya all do a great job of playing people who are so Machiavellian in their own head about getting what they want that they are willing to put aside everything else. Their personal relationships, their friendships, their romantic lives, everything, to get what they want. And all of them are at different places in their career. We have Tashi, which is Zendaya. She is someone who is at the end of her career because she is now relegated to coaching because she had a catastrophic injury that took her out entirely. She can no longer play competitively, so she is now just coaching. And in that way, she's living vicariously through Mike Feist's character, Art. And who is just, you know, he is constantly in his own head. She sees what he could be, and he could be great, but he doesn't believe in himself, whatever it is. They only address it, they say it early on, but he had major surgery and was coming back from surgery, and he's like 31 years old, so it's like, oh, that's a big thing. Like, he had rotator cuff surgery, because like they show the scar at one point, and I'm like, oh, he tore his rotator cuff. Like, that's what that is. I'm familiar enough with sports injuries to know what that scar is. So, he, you know, he has all of that going for him, and he, you know, he thinks, like, he at the same time has all this bluster about being better than everyone else and being the best, but his record doesn't always show it. Like, and meanwhile, you have Josh O'Connor's character, whose name I'm forgetting, starts with a Z. Zieg? Zweiler? Something like that. He is someone who is, you know, he never grew up. And they harp on that point several times over, where it's like, he's just someone who is, you know, stuck in this perpetual suspended adolescence for decades as he's trying to, you know, get that top spot. And he never really amounted to anything, but he's just good enough to... What's it called? He's just good enough, asshole from Jersey, to, you know, to be better than most. Like, but not the best. He's just a little bit not great. And all three of them intersect periodically through each other's lives, and it comes to a head at this tournament. And this tournament is not the U.S. Open, it's not Wimbledon, it's not the Australian Open, it's not even like the, what's it called, the at one point they go to the Atlanta Open, it's not even something like that. It's like the New Rochelle tournament to, you know, where it's like, it's a qualifier, and it's these two who are, you know, like, Art is on the downswing and trying to pick his career back up. Meanwhile, this is just the space that's been occupied by Josh O'Connor's character, and it is very well executed. I'll say that. It's one of the most interestingly directed movies I've seen in a long time. The score is fantastic, and I think that we are looking at a very strong year for scores just in general, because we've already had this, and this is a fantastic score. I love the synth vibe to it, and how prevalent it is through it. The sound mix, not quite as gung-ho about, but I think that the way that they play, like, it's not the sound use, it's the sound mix that's not particularly great, where I'm like, do we need to do it this way? No, I don't really think so. So, like, all of that notwithstanding, like, there are some truly great, you know, things with that score, and I think that we're looking at, you know, a potential, you know, we have that, we have the Dune score, which is out, like, amazing. And then there was a score, one other movie with a really fucking good score that we had fairly recently. What the fuck was it? That guy is on the divider. Oh, that's probably where that ambulance was going from. What was the movie with a really fucking good score, like, in the last 6 months? Or in the last 3 months that I saw? I don't remember. Either way, we're looking at a very strong year in the score category, and I think that's, you know, that's nice. And again, I think Zendaya, very realistically, could take home Best Actress if the narrative becomes, between this and Dune, she had the best year for acting. And it depends on what else is kind of in contention. It depends on, like, the performance by, like, Emma Stone in Kinds of Kindness. The performance of, I'm trying to think what other big movies are there with female leads coming out. I can't really think of any. So I think there's a good chance Zendaya kind of has somewhat an open field here. So we'll see. What else have we got? I feel like there was more that I wanted to talk about with this movie. I don't want to get too deep into spoilers because it's, you know, the movie's not out yet. But, yeah, it's just the, you know, like, the way the tennis match is shot is just so interesting, where it's, like, sometimes they'll have a tennis match between two characters, and the camera will be on the net, and it'll just pivot between, and it'll just flash back and forth from that one stationary point on the net. At one point, it is in the ball, and you're following the match from the perspective of the ball being hit back and forth. At one point, it is first person from the perspective of both Josh O'Connor and Art. It's all these really interesting little flourishes that really make the film stand out as something different from other things that we've seen in recent history. I love a good sports movie, and I think that's kind of what made me really get drawn to this. What else did I want to address with this? I don't know. I only got too much else to talk about. I mean, and the thing is, too, it's like, without spoiling it, by the time you get to the end, the stakes of this final match that we get to at the end, the stakes are so high by the time you get to the end of it. And it's just the way that the final point plays out, when everything else in the movie is compounded onto it, it is truly something great you're looking at. And it's, you know, I don't know. I cannot recommend this movie highly enough. This movie's a 5 on our scale. Definitely check it out when it opens on Friday. It's definitely worth a trip to the theater to watch. It's the most, like, that final thing is probably the most tense that I've been, I mean, since Civil War, but before that, like, that scene in Civil War was probably the most tense scene I've seen in a long time before that, but this is up there as a close second, because of how much is riding on this final point, and how well it's shot, and how well the, you know, it is acted with, you know, between the two of them on the court in this moment, and then with Zendaya watching from the stands as it's happening. And the thing is, too, it's like they use the, you know, the match as kind of a framing device, where it's like you're watching it and you're like, oh, okay, so we're just gonna, you know, flash back to where we are in this. And then by the time you get to the end, the entire story is unfolded, the entire backstory for why this moment is so important has unfolded in front of you. It's just like, it lands. But yeah, I mean, it's check out Challengers. It's playing in theaters on Friday. It's definitely worth your time. But we'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow is Tuesday. We do not have an episode of this. We have an episode of the Backlog Files going up at 9 a.m. That will be about, what was it? What was the name of the game? Oh, Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness. Then on Wednesday, we do not have an episode of Exploring Hyperspace Lanes. But on Tuesday in the evening, we will have an episode of 30-Minute Reviews. We may have Exploring Hyperspace Lanes. Still waiting to hear from Josie if she has the availability on Wednesday to record it. But we do have that on Wednesday. We'll be talking about a lot of stuff on 30-Minute Reviews this week. It's a long episode, probably. What else have we got? I feel like there's more that I just can't think of off the top of my head. Yeah. I mean, this week we're also going to do Boy Kills World as our other movie this week. That's going to be on Friday. And then we're going to catch up with The Bad Batch. We're going to keep on with, what was that other game? What that other show? X-Men 97. We're going to continue on with The Girls on the Bus. And I announced this the other day, but The Sympathizer, we're going to do one episode at the end with all of it. Like, one, not super episode, but one sum up at the end of it, for that. As always, you can check out the website, mwpnews.com. That is the best way to directly support the show, if you want to help us out, because we do have, you know, we have articles for a lot of the stuff that happens, like the Deadpool trailer dropped today, and I was at work when it happened, so I couldn't do a podcast about it, but what I could do was throw up an article on my lunch break about, you know, the general trailer and what I think it generally stands for the MCU. We'll talk about it more tomorrow on, on 30-Minute Reviews, but, you know, we'll see. So, we'll wrap up there for today. Until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.